I want to take this episode to explain apples. The computers. Of course, so, you know, in honor of apples, I've got mangoes behind me. We don't actually get apples over here in Taiwan. We have almost everything else, like, you know, banana trees and everything. But anyhow, so these are mangoes. These are commonplace. They're kind of the apples over here. But Apple computers are a thing. You know, people ask me, well, aren't Apple computers really good computers, Jesse? Why don't you use an Apple computer if Apple computers are so good? Look, Apple computers go back to, oh boy, we're talking 90s, 80s. I mean, Jobs was at it even in the 70s. Xerox had just had this major breakthrough. See, originally, in order to use any computer program, you had to type in complex computer code in order to start your computer program. So a lot of people couldn't use these good computer programs just because they didn't know the weirdness of starting the program. Well, Xerox had this idea. I mean, a copy machine company working with paper all the time. Their thought was that you can take the computer monitor and make it like your desktop, where you have like a piece of paper on top of another. And they called them Windows. And they invented this thing called a mouse. And the leaders of the company, the board, thought that this Windows and paper on paper desktop looking thing in this stupid invention called a mouse. Why did we hire these idiots to make such irrelevant stuff? We're talking, we need computer stuff, not this. So they sold the stupid idea of Windows and the mouse to this little rinkadink company called Apple. And Apple hired the honest and benevolent, and everyone loves the company, Microsoft, to take this window idea and apply it to the whole computer. All right. Well, that's how we get the computer interface that we pretty much know today, where you've got, you know, Windows on your desktop and so forth. Steve Jobs said, when he, probably many other times, but I believe he was introducing the first iPad, he said, Apple has always stood at the crossroads of technology and liberal arts. And the best technology is the technology that you don't know you're using. I mean, long ago, I do believe Steve said, we're not selling computers. We're selling apples. So the Apple computer had two big traits to it. One, it was quality. It was strong. One of my buddies accidentally threw his MacBook back in the days when it was made of like ballistic glass or something, those white and black plastic MacBooks. He accidentally threw the thing across the house and it literally rolled 15 feet, had a little ding on the side, but none of the circuitry was broken. It had no performance issues. I mean, the things were strong. So Apple computers were designed to be rugged and strong and not crash all the time. You know, the blue screen of death, that's a Microsoft thing. Apple computers are supposed to not crash. You don't have to reboot your Apple computer all the time. You can just put it to sleep and wake it up. You could do that for years and not have to restart it because it runs clean. They keep stuff organized. They don't clutter up their computer code. If they want the Apple computer, if they want the software, the program to do something different, they'll rewrite the whole software so that it does it neatly and cleanly rather than just adding some little trinket add-on gimmick like Microsoft does when they would do their code with DLL files in Windows. Now, that's, you know, dated information from 1995, but that's what Apple was all about. Apple wanted stuff to be cleanly made and cleanly running and cleanly usable. They wanted a computer that you didn't know was a computer. Like, you didn't feel like it was a computer. So they were strong and they were solid, and you didn't know it was a computer. It's the computer that's not a computer. It's an Apple. Okay, well, then of course you got Microsoft, which was the shall we say, the Walmart version of it, loaded with viruses, crashes all the time, but it's cheap and everyone can buy one. So that happened, and there's a lot that people could say badly about Microsoft, but I won't go into that. The other side of this is the developer side, the people who want to use the computer as a computer, the people who want to develop and write software from a software writing developing perspective. They don't want to be unaware that it's a computer. These computer developers, creators, they want to know that it's a computer that they're using. They don't want a super clean user experience. They want to create the super clean user experience for you. So if I were to compare the computers to, let's say, artwork in drawing manga comics, okay, you've got the user, the consumer, who would read manga comic books. He might have read a lot of the books. He might appreciate the artwork. We're talking about a user, a consumer, someone who looks and receives, not someone who creates the art, not someone who may not even know how to draw a picture, but just reads it and looks at it and likes looking at it. And maybe is really amazing at looking at it. Well, I'm an expert looker at her. I mean, I look at this comic stuff and I'm an expert at looking at stuff someone else made. Well, that's what the Apple user kind of is. But then you've got the artist. You've got the manga comic artist. That person's not going to want a manga comic book. That person's going to want an empty book, a book that doesn't have nice pictures in it so they can create those pictures. That person, the manga artist, is going to want pens and markers and maybe paintbrushes and probably, hopefully, some classes on how to make this stuff look good. You know, they're going to be creating. All right, so I'm going to take this whole art illustration and I'm going to put it somewhere else, but the Apple computer is like the manga comic book. It's for people to look at and use and consume and receive. But when we're talking about creating computer software, creating user experiences for other people, that's where really we need Linux as the platform to work with. Now, Apple, you can write software for Apple, I think. There's some level to which you can work with it. But if you start working too much with Apple and you change stuff, you go to jail because Apple's very controlling and proprietary. So if you're going to create software, if you're going to write something new, the thing to really do is FOSS, free open source software, FOSS, FOSS. The people that write stuff for the internet, we're talking Google, Facebook, these platforms, they use Linux because it's free and open. We're not talking free beer, we're talking free speech. People can take Linux and they can change it into whatever they want, and it's free and open, so you're not going to go to jail if you copy it or change something or install it onto another computer. Apple, they're different. They're controlling like that. So the people that want to create something don't want to have to worry about going to jail if they have the wrong right idea. They don't want to have a dangerous new light bulb go off that'll land them in prison. So they don't want to work with Apple that's so controlling with their software. So they want to go over and work with Linux. And then Linux is like the manga artist. They've got pens and blank pages and stuff. They can create and make new things with Linux. Now, in that group, there's a lot of Linux people. They like Apple computers because they like a good user experience, but they don't only want to receive and use a good user experience. They want to go create it for someone else. Now, Apple computers are really like a paintbrush themselves. You're not supposed to think that it's a computer when you use it. And an Apple computer, is for people like artists or business people. They need something that just works. They need spreadsheets to just work. Or they need a drawing program that just works, and it won't crash, it won't talk back, it won't have a bad attitude, it won't give the blue screen of death. I mean, when does your pencil say, oh, I'm sorry, my code's not working, I need to reboot? You know, that doesn't happen with a pencil. So why should it happen with an Apple? Well, it doesn't. So Apple computers are there to empower artists so they can receive and use and look and, wow, this is a nice experience that I'm seeing, and I don't even know that it's a computer, and I have no freaking clue how any of this works, but I'm receiving and it's giving to me, and I'm using this computer, and oh, I like using it, and I've got absolutely no freaking clue how it works. I have zero appreciation for what people did to make this stuff work. It just works. And now I can go use this to do something else. Now I can go write my book. Now I can go focus on my business. Now I can go draw pictures or create music. And I can be a professional with these other things. That's what Apple computers are for. Linux is for people that want to create. And they want to create something useful and powerful for users. Linux users, they want to create something awesome and useful for other people. So they use Linux to do it. Now, Linux is getting better and better and better at having this nice user experience. And I try to teach people how to use Linux with my Ink as a Verb thing. That's my idea. I try to help people understand the Linux side, the computer programming side, that it's very, very easy, that it's very, very useful. I try to focus on that end of things. So which computer should you use? Which computer should you be working with? Well, it depends on what you want. If you want a computer, you probably should be doing Linux. If you want to draw pictures, don't get a computer. Get an Apple.